Thankful this morning for grace. Amen. I take your Bibles, if you would, and go to John chapter number 10 this morning. Thank you, Miss Clark. All the music has been wonderful today. Even the congregational singing. Boy, you got wide open on that first one this morning. Amen. John chapter 10 for the tape room. The title this morning will be The Three I Am's of John chapter 10. The Three I Am's of John chapter 10. This morning, I think as we look at the scripture, the Bible is going to speak much of sheep and a shepherd in John chapter 10. And Brother Geraldo, I was thinking back the last time I think you were in the building and I was in John chapter 10. We were not in this building. We're down at Tom Sexton's, amen, on Soul Winning Marathon, amen. And I thank God for his word, amen. I thank God for it. It's always good. No matter who's preaching it. Amen. And this morning, I just want to ask the Lord to help me again before we get into the scripture today. But I just want to remind you that, boy, were it not for grace. And it stirred my heart this morning just to think, where would I be today? I could take, and time would not allow me to tell you where I think I would be without Jesus Christ today. But I know that where I would be headed and be a devil's hell without Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm thankful for the shepherd. Amen. Because I wasn't looking for him, but he came looking for me. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Dear God, I come to you this morning and I surrender myself again the best way I know how. And I beg you, God, to do what I cannot do. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd go into the hearts of the hearers and that you would use your word that you've penned down through your men, God, to convict, to draw, to compel men to come into Jesus Christ, to come into yourself. God, I pray, Lord, I know that here there's so much that you say about yourself. God, I pray that you would be high and lifted up, that you'd let me be just your messenger boy. And at the end of the message, people wouldn't see me, but they would see you. God, I pray that you'd use me, hold my speech, and let only yours come through me today. God, I pray you that you would again give me unction to do what you want me to do today and to hold back anything that would come from me. I ask it in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, my Savior. Amen. In John chapter 10, if you look at the early part of the chapter there, I'm going to read many verses, and I know where the time is today, but I pray that you'll give me a few extra minutes. I know sometimes we think about our time and where we're measuring our time, and I know the clock, there's no punching in and punching out, but I pray today that you'll give a hearing to the word of God. There's so many on our prayer list. As our church has grown, so does our prayer list. As our hearts burn for our people that aren't with us in the building this morning, then I would be remiss not to call their names out before God's people. And had it been you this morning that was in the hospital, you would want your name called out to be prayed for. Amen. So again, as we enter this, I want to mention this because I don't want you to think I'm wearing a pink tie after I preached against them on Wednesday night. This is a red tie. Amen. It's got a lot of white in it. It's a red tie. And this is the Restore-a-thon tie. Now, if you take a magnifying glass and you look at all this paisley, one of our men did a real good job of detailing. There's all these little microphones and a guitar pick in the middle, and it says Gospel 90.3, not only at the bottom of the tie, but all over it. And it's a great way to represent your radio station at church. Amen. And so you may want to look at the package. You can get this tie in. But again, last week I had the sunglasses, and this week I had the tie. And I want to tell you, I'm thankful for our radio station. And I'm so thankful for what God is doing through it and the people that he has brought, not just, you know, around the world, but here in our local area. The FM station is broadcast the truth of Jesus Christ for so long. And I've heard so many people say, I got saved listening to Pastor Carter at the Landmark Hour. I got saved listening to Gospel 90.3. I got right with God listening to Gospel 90.3. I threw off that wrong music and I started listening to God's music. And then there's so many things that the radio station can do for us, and time will not allow us. But in John chapter 10, the person whom we serve, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's red letters here, and he's going to say some things, and we'll start here. I want you to know he mentioned some things about the thief and the robber, and they've got to come by the door, and we'll circle back a little bit later if I have time, so it probably won't happen, but it's all worth reading in the chapter. But for time's sake, I want you to begin at chapter 6.
that lets us know. He's going to say many times that he's the shepherd, the good shepherd. He's going to say he's the door. But in verse 6, he says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he had spaken unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep." Look on with me if you would. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." Amen. "This commandment have I received of my Father." I want you to skip with me for time's sake down a little bit, and we'll start here. In verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." If you read the rest of the chapter, you're going to realize because of that statement that the Jews took up stones to stone him, because they realized that he had just said, "I am the Son of God." Hey folks, I want to tell you today that we have a good shepherd. There's some things that I see in the chapter that I just can't help but come and preach about this morning. If you're here today and you're already in the fold, there's some wonderful things that we can take on. If you're one of his sheep today, then you could say some things that I find in the chapter that are so interesting. Look at verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I see some things there. I see, number one, if I'm his sheep, I am his personal property. I don't know about you folks, but I'm bought with a price. I don't know if you walked in this morning and thought about, hey, I'm his sheep. If he's the shepherd, there's an owner of the sheep. And oftentimes we think about ourselves like we are free range sheep. Like we can just scatter about and do what we want to, but we need to be in the master's fold. We need to be about the master's business. We need to be in the master's pasture. We need to be in the place that God wants us to be. And listen, you say you're preaching to the choir because we're in church today. Well, amen and amen. I'm preaching just in case you forgot. Just in case in the middle of the week that God needs to draw this up out of you and you're thinking, I'm going to go here this weekend. No, no, no. Maybe you strayed out during the Super Bowl. Maybe you strayed out during some other time, but I'm just going to tell you that God needs his sheep in his pasture, and that's the best place and the safest place for you. Amen. Hey, you say, well, I can take care of myself. Hey, maybe you haven't seen a wolf with big enough teeth to take you down yet, but he's out there, folks. Oftentimes a Christian gets all bowed up and thinks, I can take care of myself. I don't need the shepherd to take care of me. I'm one bad sheep. That's how we get, don't we? I'll kick anything that comes along. I'll gnaw them with my gums. I'll hit them with my wool. That don't sound too tough, does it? Hey, I got a shepherd that never missed a lick with a hard stick. Amen? The Bible says that he's going to show up and rule with a rod of iron. And listen, when I'm in his pasture, he can rule all he wants, because the only people he's swinging at and busting heads is that old wolf that's going to come in and try to steal and destroy and kill. I'm thankful God gave me a shepherd. Hey, I just want to tell you, everybody, and all those that are listening under the voice, politicians and everybody else that wants to come up against God's church, don't think you're standing about against his under shepherd. There's a God in heaven who is still the good shepherd, and he carries a great big stick, and he's coming back to rule everything one day. And listen, if you come up after his church, he'll still bust the wolf in the head. He'll still crack a skull if he needs to. I believe in God is just as powerful as he was when he split open the Red Sea and let his people cross on dry ground. I believe my God is just that powerful. I don't want to fear men. I want to fear the Lord in my day and age, and I'll stay in his pasture. I like to stay near the shepherd. I want to watch him carry his stick. I want to scream out to the wolf that wants to come up and take our young children. The preaching over here, you may think I'm just, oh, you just want to hold on to the next generation. You're right, I do. I want to protect them. I want them to stay in the right pasture. I want them to be scared to death of the wolf, and I want them to stand like I do beside my master and say, come on, woofy, 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 come on up here. Come and get some. We don't often think of it that way, but I'm so thankful that I'm on a place. Listen, as his sheep, I'm his property. He is responsible for me. He says that he's going to keep me. Hey, folks, I mean, I know we're talking about spiritual things. Think about what he says about his property. I give unto them. Listen, our good shepherd is a giver. He's a giver of life. He's giver of an abundant life if we'll stay in his pasture and live his way and work his will. I'm so thankful for the shepherd that I serve. He didn't just make me go out there and fat me up for the kill. He fattened me up because he wants me to produce fruit. And then the sheep, that's wool. But man, he often references that in the scripture as a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in its season. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I got a God who wants me to be fruitful. He wants me to produce the things that he has prepared in my life. I don't want to spend my life producing the fruit that I can come forth, that I can come and bring up in my own life, that I can grow the right kind of wool. No, mine's going to be all knotted. I'm going to be up in the briars. I'm going to be in a place, and my wool won't be half what's worth if I stick in his house. And boy, when I come in, it looks good. Like I want to be seen. What was sung, the young lady sang, I want people to know whose sheep I am. They said, that's one of the master sheep. Don't touch him. Watch him. Or say, I wish I was one of the master sheep. Or how about this? You ever been around somebody and go, there's something different about you? Or how about, I've got to have what you've got. I love to tell him, I've got a good shepherd. He'll buy you back just like he bought me. He'll bring you in the fold just like he brought me in the fold. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm excited today. Do you know that whether, you know, this passage of scripture, I don't know, a lot of people want to church age this. All right? He's speaking to a pack of Jews. And he said, I've got sheep. He said, but there's another fold of sheep that I've got that I'm going to take care of. And there's only two different groups of people in the Bible, and he doesn't measure them out by race like we do. He doesn't separate them out like we do. The scripture separates the Jew and the Gentile. And he opened up two different folds, and he brought them all in. Amen and amen. He's way more righteous than we ever could be. He looks with eyes and a heart that we don't have. I'm just going to tell you this morning, I'm personal property. He's my shepherd. I'm his personal property. So I hear his voice. I know he's calling. You know, it's funny. You know how it is when the preacher walks up. I did this with Pastor Carter. Now I watch guys do this when I show up. They jump up. They were sitting down. You know, they were leaning on the wall with one hand painting like this. Amen. The preacher shows up. Preacher's here. Preacher's here. Preacher's here. Whoa. They start painting with both hands. two rollers. Hey, you know, we need to be at work all the time for our Savior. It isn't the preacher that's just the shepherd. He's not the one we're going to answer to. You're never going to stand before the judgment seat of pastor. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he didn't miss anything, folks. When he calls, I'm going to hear his voice. And I'm going to be out of here. In the twinkling of an eye. With a shout. It's going to be a loud voice. Amen. I can't wait to go home to see him. He's not only that, but he says, I know them. Isn't it nice to be known of the Savior? Isn't it being known of the shepherd? I don't know about you, but I mean, he knows me. In this passage, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but he says, I am the door. I hope you understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. That statement is another statement of I am the door. Ain't nobody getting in that I don't know. I'm going to call them, and they're going to hear my voice, and my sheep are going to follow me. Follow me where? Home. Amen and amen. I'm excited today because I know whose I am. I'm his property. I've been bought with a price. Not only that, how about this? I think think about the sheep. It says they follow me. I didn't start following him before I was his. When he bought me with a price, I started following him. You know what he does for me? He ain't never driving me like some old hard master that would whip me and drive me to action. He's always out in front. You know, like our generals used to be in the armies? You know, instead of sitting back in Washington and calling in the plays from the Pentagon, they used to go to the battlefield. And they used to get on the white horse and lead and say, charge. You say, oh, well, we lost too many generals that way. That's why they trained other men to be good generals, too. And they lead in the battle, and they had the next generation ready to step up and fire the next shot to lead the next call. But listen, I'm here to tell you know, we never lost battles. We never lost battles when our generals went out into the fray first. When we really started, when people that never saw the battlefield with their own eyes started calling the shots. When our generals became politicians is when we started to lose battles in this country. Hey, you know what happens? You know when the church starts to lose battles? When they start listening to the wrong general. When they start following the person that isn't taking the orders from the Lord Jesus Christ, who isn't, they're not receiving them from the Holy Spirit of God. They're following their will and their way and what brings things into the bank instead of things that brings people into heaven's bank. Hey, I'm just going to tell you this morning, you say, oh, preacher, I just think about following the Savior. There's perseverance of the problems of this life. He wants to give me life and life abundantly. You know, if I follow him, it don't matter the troubles that come. It don't matter the wolves that show up. It doesn't matter. Listen, I'll hit a dry place. He's going to lead me on to where there's good water and there's good pastures. I can just follow the Savior through all the perseverance of this life. You say, well, it's getting bad. Don't you see all the things? The gas is going up and all these prices are going up. Bacon is $8. Woo! Listen, I don't know about gas, but when bacon gets like that, I got problems. Amen? How's a man going to survive without bacon? Amen? You can get a bite, but bacon? Amen? We laugh about it, right? But we see all the things that are going on in the world, and we're like, what in the world are we going to do? Follow the shepherd through the hard places. What about my retirement and the NASDAQ and the Dow? And I don't know those people. Follow the shepherd. Amen. Amen. Hey, you say, oh, preacher, come on now. I'm just telling you, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he'll lead me to green pastures if I follow him, if I stay with him. If the pasture all burns up, he's got another pasture prepared for his people, and he'll take us. When this place gets so bad that we can't take it anymore and the church cannot stay, he will take it home to be with him. And he's prepared a place, and he's prepared a meal. I preached on that last week, but I'm getting a little edgy. I may go back to the supper. I can't help it. It's 12 o'clock. I'm hungry. Amen. Amen? Hey, some of you looked at your watch. It ain't 12 o'clock yet. Come on back. I not only see here that, but look at verse 28. I see, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I see a powerful provision for his sheep. You know, I mean, he provides. And he'll lead us through as his property. And I mean, he'll preserve all through the problems of this life. But there's a powerful provision that I could never make for myself that the Savior made for me. He came from heaven. And he allowed himself to put on a robe of flesh that he should have never had to put on. He lived a life that I couldn't live, and then he died. He laid his life down for the sheep. And then he rose up under his own power to be seated at the right hand of God and to have a name above every name. At the name of Jesus. Listen, there's no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved. But by the name of Jesus. We can't get it wrong. We got to proclaim the message like it always has. But we've got to realize the great provision that was made for us. I give unto them eternal life. He says, and they shall never perish. I don't know about you folks, but I'm excited when I realize that I'm never going to die. That I'm never really going to die. This old body, this old flesh may shed off, but the man that's inside of this old body. Amen. The man that really doesn't age. I feel all the cricks. I was coming up here and I felt my knee go like that. You know what I'm talking about? I felt the flesh, but on the inside, the man, he ain't old. He ain't older than the day that I remember that I received Jesus Christ. And he's coming to a place he's looking to live forever. He's looking to live forever in heaven and walk with a Savior and to have a mansion and to have streets of gold and then come back with him and victorious a battle of Armageddon and then set up a kingdom and watch my Savior and say, holy, holy, holy is he. Hey, folks, I'm excited about what Jesus is going to do, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to wait for what he's going to do. I'm going to get excited in what he's already done in me. He's already purchased a great provision, a powerful provision. How about this? I see the powerful protection of our Lord. He goes on and says, "Not listen, if it wasn't enough for you that Jesus has a hold of your salvation, he says, I and my Father are one. He said, and you're in his hand. And in my hand, you don't understand what that is. When I was a boy, I mean, if I was going to, show you this illustration. If I was this pen and you put me in Jesus's hand. Listen, I used to, you know how it is with boys. I have like three cousins that were like my brothers. And we all want the same car at the same time. You know what I'm talking about? That Hot Wheel. Everybody had to have the same Hot Wheel. Because that Hot Wheel was hotter than all the rest of them. And I had to have it. That's my favorite one. Amen. It was probably a Chevrolet instead of a Ford. Nobody wants to play with the Ford, right? I just lost half the crowd. Anyway, so. But he had that. He has me in his hand. And then he wraps. If I'm in the Lord's hand, and then I'm inside the Father's hand. Listen, if it wasn't strong enough that the one that could lay down his life and he could take it up again. If that wasn't strong enough and powerful enough for you to have no fear but to trust that you'll never perish. He says, I'm inside my Father's hand. Amen. And no man will pluck him out of my hand. Hey, listen, I'm telling you this morning, as I read this, I think to myself, you know what, Jesus, all the I am's here. The I am's of the scripture. He goes, look, I want you to read them with me. He goes all the way back. Look at verse number, if you would. Verse number 7. He says, verily, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You realize that Jesus is the door. You can't get to heaven by any other means except for Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't just say, he says, after you come through the door, if you look on down with me and look at verse number 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his life for our sheep. That's how we get in because of what he did. He says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. After I get in, he knows me and I know him. And listen, I'm here to tell you, there's been a day in my life that the greatest change that ever happened was when I let Jesus purchase me and then I just stuck with him. I made a decision that I was going to walk with him and follow him because of whose I was, and I'm excited this morning. I just can't say enough how good the shepherd is. Do you know he goes all the way down in verse 35, and we didn't read this far. I want you to pick it up in verse 35. If he called them gods into the word of God, came, and the scripture cannot be broken. He says, according to the scripture, Verse 36, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the word, thou blasphemest, because I said, this is what he claimed throughout the chapter, and they were going to stone him for. He said, I am the Son of God. Do you know in this chapter, the whole layout of salvation is right here? Because for a man to be saved, he needs to hear the gospel that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That his sins are going to take him straight to hell if he doesn't accept someone else that made a payment. If he doesn't accept someone else's goodness, because he can never be good enough. And then we realize that not only is Jesus the door, but that he's the good shepherd. Because even when I wasn't good enough, when I was lost in my trespasses and sin, when I was an enemy or with enmity with God, when God saw me and I was a sinner, he sent his son to die for me. And he rose again on the third day and proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am the Son of God, is what he said in the chapter. You say, well, what do you got to believe to be saved, preacher? You got to believe that Jesus is the only way. That he came from heaven and paid the price, rose again according to the scripture, and that he is the very Son of God. You need to believe the three I am's that you find in this chapter. And then you can stand with me. And my fourth I am this morning is, I am his sheep. Amen. Hey, you know that you can say that with me this morning if you accept Christ as your Savior. All the I am's of Christ lead me to I am his sheep. Amen. Hey, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you know you can be one of his sheep too. If you just simply realize he's the door, that you can't get in any other way but through Jesus. If you come to the place where you realize that his death, burial, and resurrection paid for your eternal life and that he gives it to his sheep, and you say, God, I believe that he is your son, Jesus Christ. You know, today as we make a plea, we're going to make an invitation. And in our day, it's old fashioned. People don't know what an invitation is. An invitation is we invite you to step out of your seat and come down to the front and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. You say, well, I'm scared, preacher, I'm scared. But listen, aren't you more scared than not getting into a sheepfold? Be scared of the wolves. Be scared of death and hell. Come and step out during the invitation and receive eternal life that you can only get from Jesus Christ. This morning, we'll have somebody that'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Hey, if you're here and you're a part of his fold, you know you're saved, but you got out of the pasture, why don't you come and meet with God at the altar today and say, God, I'll follow you from now on. God, I'm going to get in. I'm going to be in your pasture. I'm going to do what you want me to do. God, help me. Why don't you do that this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed? The musicians are on their way. I've told you we're going to have an invitation. But as the musicians come, is there anyone in the building this morning that would say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not one of his sheep. Would you slip your hand up and say, I need to be saved? Anybody like that this morning? Just slip your hand up and would let me pray for you. Anyone in the building that would slip it up high enough that I might be able to pray for your soul. That means we're all saved. How many of us have been in the pasture? How many of us need to come and say, God, help me. You've been a good shepherd to me. Help me to be a better sheep. Let's stand to our feet. As Brother Burt gets ready to sing, you step out and come and do what God's asked you to do.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, we'll ask you to do this for us this morning. Would you pray for the lost soul that's in the building today that needs to be saved? Thank you.
just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to
continue in prayer with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Folks have come to join the church. Maybe you're here and you've been attending for a while and you know you need to join a good church, maybe through baptism, or maybe you're a member of a Baptist church and you just want to move your membership. Whatever God is speaking to your heart about doing, why don't you step out and come and do business with God? And if you're here and you're not saved, you don't know right now, if you died this moment that you'd be in heaven instantly, then step out and come. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved. As Brother Bert sings,
just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Without a doubt, we have young people that are in an invitation as well. And I'd ask the church, as we do business and people are moving their membership and coming in here, why don't we pray for them, that God would move in their midst, that God would do a work in their heart and they would be saved. Maybe they would come in and be baptized and join the church and get into the pasture that God wants them to be in. Amen. As Brother Bert sings, you bow your head with me and you pray and ask God to do these things.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and wait.